Hello and welcome. You are listening to the Gay with God podcast, a safe place for us to share our stories and support one another. How long did we know? What challenges did we face? Did we lose our faith? When did we find our way back home? Or are we still searching? The stories you hear on this podcast will melt your heart and strengthen your belief that in God, all things are possible, and you can be, authentically, gay with the God of your understanding. I am your host, Midge Noble, and I am very honored that you are here. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Gay with God podcast. This is Midge Noble, and I'm your host for today, as always. And I want to remind you again that the Wild Goose Festival is coming up quite shortly now. It is already March, and we will be gathering in July, July 11th through the 14th, for an amazing festival. It is full of a transformational community grounded in faith-inspired social justice. It's a one-of-a-kind gathering that brings together activists, artists, and seekers from all walks of life to explore justice, art, spirituality, and community. And I am a proud podcaster at the Wild Goose Festival at the Goose Tent. I am so excited to bring back the Gay with God podcast live with a guest this year again, and I'm so excited to share this space with such amazing, amazing people, presenters, musicians. It is just a transformational opportunity for anyone who likes to hang out with all of these great people. It will be at Van Hoy Farms in Union Grove, North Carolina. And because you are a follower of the Gay with God podcast, I can offer you a discount of $50 off the price of an adult ticket for the weekend. So if you want to claim your discount price and join me at the festival this year, go to empoweredmidge.podbean.com, look at the show notes for this show, and I will list your discount code there. And when you then log on to get your tickets at thewildgoosefestival.org, you will be able to enter in your discount code from me, and you will get your $50 off the weekend adult ticket price. So there's that. Please take advantage of that, and I can't wait to see you there. So today, the title of this episode is God Loves My Enemies. And let me just say, it's been a journey. It's been a journey for me to come into the realization of that. I guess I always knew it in the back of my head. And yet it's really hard for me to really embrace that when we're up against such ugliness in the world today, when there are people who are just waiting to do something mean, spirited, and just dangerous, and just, I don't even know the words, just deplorable behaviors. And it's been very difficult. We've talked about it on this podcast many times, but it's so difficult for me to understand how an entire country can embrace disrespect, bigotry, hostility, just pure ugliness. And I am nervous about the upcoming election, and I've really had to come to terms with what is my part in all of this. You know, what is my part? And what I mean by that is that change, as we say, always comes from us. Even if somebody else doesn't change, we can change our heart, we can change our minds, we can change how we respond to bigotry and homophobia and racism. That's our choice. We can't fix other people. There's this great quote that I don't know where it came from, but I've used it for years. It says, "Not my circus, not my monkeys." And what that means to me is that whatever arena I'm observing, if I'm not in that arena, I don't have responsibility, really, for what's going on over there. Now, take out abuse of a child or an elderly person or an animal, and then, you know, I'm going to call somebody and I'm going to get some help in that situation. But if it's just somebody wanting to spin out of control and do their thing and they're not harming another person, that's not my circus, that's not my monkey, and I can't fix everything. And I can't fix anything for anybody else who doesn't want to change, which is the point that I need to be the one willing to change my heart if I am sending back out torpedoes of anger and rage at a person that doesn't even know I'm that angry or doesn't even know that they're affecting me and probably doesn't care. Even if they did know, they're not going to care that they're affecting my quality of life and making me anxious and fearful about what will happen to our lives as LGBTQIA plus individuals if that person gets elected. So during the lay preaching initiative, we were asked to look at various sermons and write focus statements for them and to be able to process how they made that sermon either something that we enjoyed or didn't enjoy. And I found one of the best sermons that I've read in a very long time. And it's by a person named Lauren Kay. She was in seminary in the Southwest, and she wrote a sermon entitled, "Who Are the Least of These?" And so I'm going to read this to you today, and then we're going to continue to have a conversation about it. But it's from the gospel lesson, Matthew 25, 31 through 46. So this is "Who Are the Least of These?" by Lauren Kay. Gospel lesson, Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. This was originally preached in November 26th of 2017 at St. George's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me." Who are the least of these? It would be easy to take this passage and make an illustration about the importance of caring for the poor, helping the marginalized, the disadvantaged, and leaning into the gospel for the oppressed. Indeed, often, that is how this portion of the gospel is used. "Who among us is hungry, thirsty, without clothing, and in prison? Who among us are the strangers who need welcome, and the sick who need healing? Surely they are the poor, the disadvantaged, and the marginalized. But what if the least of these are not so easily recognized?" 1 year ago, November of 2016, six others from seminary and I traveled up to North Dakota to the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation to lean from and bear witness to the movement opposing the Dakota Access Pipeline, a crude oil pipeline being constructed across a major water source for the residents of Standing Rock and millions more downtown. Beyond the environmental implications, what drew so many indigenous tribes and supporters to Standing Rock was the violation of and disregard for the rights and lives of the natives who lived there. The pipeline went through unceded treaty land. In the path of construction, contractors dug up and destroyed sacred sites and objects with no recourse. The water protectors standing up against the pipeline were brutally attacked multiple times, often while in prayer. They were arrested, had numbers were written on their arms with permanent marker, and held in cages which resembled dog kennels. They were attacked with dogs, pepper spray, CS gas, sound and water cannons, rubber bullets, and concussion grenades. The counties in which Standing Rock is located are among the 10 poorest counties in the nation. Residents struggle for access to health care and education and battle high rates of alcoholism, addiction, suicide, and domestic violence. Many live in food deserts with low access to fresh fruit, vegetables, and other healthful whole foods. Who are the least of these? Now, on the outside, one might say that the residents and water protectors at Standing Rock in this narrative are the least of these. Certainly, Christians are called to care for and support the poor and the oppressed in places like Standing Rock. Yet to leave the narrative there is to leave it lacking. In the wake of one of the most violent attacks on water protectors last year, Morton County Sheriff's Office put out a call for snacks and sodas for the officers and security personnel on the front line. I recall harsh judgment and criticism across online commentaries as people derided them for asking for snacks while they attacked peaceful protesters. But Indigenous youth responded, carrying large plastic totes full of the requested items to the sheriff's office and leaving them with prayer for law enforcement. Throughout water protector camps, prayer and volunteer service were the language of the land. As much as we prayed for pipeline construction to halt, sacred sites to be spared, and Indigenous rights to be respected, we prayed for those who attacked us. Water protectors often could be seen extending peace and prayer to officers in riot gear across razor wire or through sounds of pepper spray and rubber bullets. When the temptation for snark, bitterness, or slander of law enforcement arose, Indigenous youth elders, youth, and other leaders in the movement reminded us that those who opposed, attacked, and oppressed us were still our siblings, and we must always strive for peace and reconciliation with our family. Who are the least of these? Today's gospel lesson began with the separation of sheep from goats. The sheep are placed at the right, while the goats are placed at the left. The sheep are those who responded to God's call to care for their siblings, while the goats did not. The sheep inherit the kingdom, while the goats are sentenced to eternal punishment. Now, goats are not inherently to be associated with the negative. Sheep and goats often were shepherded in the same herd. The shepherd separated them on cold nights as the goat's short, coarse hair required shelter for warmth. Goats are more temperamental than docile sheep, but in Jesus' time, they were not seen as any less valuable. Some believe that the shepherds separated them out also for grazing, as the willful goats could be bullies, sending sheep to the right and goats to the left. But after grazing, the herd once again would come together under the care and guidance of the shepherd. Who are the least of these? On recent Sundays, we've heard some of Matthew's judgment texts, the kind which carry with them eternal punishment and being cast into the outer darkness with weeping and gnashing of teeth. These are difficult texts, especially for those of us who want to believe in the goodness of Christ and a kingdom for all people. But in these texts, Jesus doesn't hold back on judgment of the nations and judgment of those who believe they are righteous, yet are more slaves to the empire than they are servants of God. Today is Christ the King Sunday. This feast day showed up in the early 20th century, founded by Pope Pius XI, to remind Christians that their allegiance was to their spiritual ruler in heaven as opposed to earthly supremacy, such as was claimed at that time by fascist dictator Benito Mussolini. Reflecting on the experience at Standing Rock, where those in prayer, out of concern for their siblings and for their Mother Earth, were met by violence at the hands of employees of the government in the interest of a corporation and the almighty dollar, it seems fitting to remember them on this day and to remember to whom we truly pledge our allegiance. Still, in light of our gospel lesson, may we be moved to realize that the least of these may not be so easily recognized. Good questions to ask may be, who do I have a hard time loving today? How might they be the least of these? It is not our job to separate the goats from the sheep, but it is our job to love them, even when they are in the place of our enemies. So I will not attempt to separate the goats from the sheep among the law enforcement and water protectors at Standing Rock. We all have our struggles in knowing how and why we claim our allegiance in movements such as that against the Dakota Access Pipeline. However, I will submit to you that the least of these could be found on both sides of the conflict, just as they can be found in the poorest towns and the rich suburbs alike. Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me. As we remember what it means to be servants of Christ this day, I would like to close with this collect for Christ the King Sunday from All Saints Episcopal Church in Pasadena, California. Most gracious God, who in Jesus of Nazareth showed us an alternative to the kings, queens, and emperors of history, help us to revere and emulate Jesus' leadership, to love, and to seek justice for all people. Help us to recognize the true grandeur and life-changing power based in loving you and all of our neighbors. In Christ Jesus, with you and the Holy Spirit, may we co-create a world ruled not through domination, but in that radical and all-powerful compassion and love. Amen. Wow. When I read that sermon, and I remember that time in our lives in 2016, I was following that story. I was appalled by that behavior at Standing Rock. I was just devastated for the people of that place. And I also remember feeling anger at the people who were doing those things. It never crossed my mind that looking on the other side of that razor wire, looking through the pepper spray fog, the pelting of the bullets, that other people on the other side were not always the least of these. That all of them collectively, as they were behaving in whatever way they might have been behaving, might have been the least of these. And that there was probably stories on both sides where people did not step into their Jesus walk. And the way I mean that is that I always say, I want to walk and talk the talk and walk of Jesus. What would Jesus do? Well, sometimes Jesus turned over tables. Sometimes he did buck up against authority. And we are not commanded to stand back and let people abuse other people. What I got from this sermon for me was that I am responsible for how I stand up for other people, how I stand up for myself if I am being abused by someone else, either in their words or their actions. So in my journey of always trying to be like Jesus, during the Lenten period this year, if you listen to any of those podcasts, I talked about being corrected when I thought, I'll pray for my enemies, and that's how I'll spend Lent. And it only took about 2 or 3 days where I realized that, oh, I wasn't being called to pray for my enemies. I was being called to pray for my heart toward my enemies. I was called to task by the Holy Spirit that, what a pious prayer is that I'm going to pray for somebody else to change their heart because my heart is angry and bitter and rageful and full of hate toward the people who are scaring me on the other side of the aisle politically, on the other side of religion, on the other side of decency. I'm not perfect. I'm far a saint ever. Probably never would be a saint. I have a lot of anger toward people who are hurting animals and children and the people in our community and other marginalized communities. I am far from a saint. And that's what this sermon said to me, is that here I am on one side of that razor wire, and you would consider that we all in a marginalized community are on the other side of that razor wire, being abused, knocked down, not having equity or equal rights, and always in fear of keeping any rights that we may have on this day. And yet, I am still called from the other side of that wire to show up the way Jesus would have shown up. And to remember that if God has tears, he is crying for the other side just as much as he's crying for us. that God walks with me through whatever homophobic, slanderous things are said about me, and he is also crying for the people who are doing that because that's not who they were created to be. And when I flip over to anger and rage and ugly behavior, that's not who I was created to be. We are in a standing rock situation right now where we are so divided. There may not be razor wire between us, but there is red and blue. There is Republican, Democrat. There is Trump and Biden. There is what we believe, what they believe, and yet none of us are talking about what does God want us to do in this moment? How do we step up in this moment and be the heart of Jesus? And that doesn't mean that I'm not going to sign every petition I can find. That doesn't mean that I'll ever in my whole entire life vote for Donald Trump. Not ever. That doesn't mean that I have permission to flip the ugliness back at them from my heart, because I'm only in control of me. And I will answer not for what Donald Trump has done to this nation. I won't answer to what Donald Trump has done to the LGBTQIA plus community. I'm going to answer to what I did in response to all of that. And I have every right to be political. I have every right to stand up for my rights. I have every right to demand justice. But I have to check my heart and make sure that I'm doing it out of compassion and love, and that I'm still praying every day for my heart to soften, to be effective. I may not be effective in the rage that I can generate from my own heart. I can be effective if I continue to pray for my heart, and I stand on a line, and I continue to support and speak out against homophobic behavior and allowing all of the LGBTQIA plus community to have their voice. So, my friends, yes, God loves my enemies. God created them to be exactly what I was created to be. And yes, we all sometimes miss the mark of what God expected us to do in times of trouble. So I'm continuing to revisit this and come back around. Every morning at 8:30, my alarm goes off to remind myself to pray for my heart and to soften my reactions to people. And that, as I said back in the day, it's probably going to be more than a month-long project, and it sure is for me. I may be in Lent for the rest of my life, but I am still trying. And I'm going to keep trying, because I will not quit on being what God has asked me to be. And I want to be all that I can be in my walk with Jesus. So I hope that you guys got something out of that sermon. Please feel free to send me your thoughts, your stories, your comments about how this landed for you. You know I love to hear from you, and I love your insights and how the podcast may have resonated from you from episode to episode. I want to give a shout out to Matthew Roach, who was my guest for today, and yet this is one of those learning curves for Midge. So our Wi-Fi went out last week. I had just finished up with my lay preaching Zoom group, and then started to do some other things on the computer when I couldn't get anything to work. And I looked up and it was like the Wi-Fi was out. And I'm like, what's up with that? So I went through all of these things that you do when your Wi-Fi is out to try to reboot it and to get it to come back up. And unfortunately, it just didn't work. And now I'm waiting for a repair of some kind. First, I was told twice that there was an outage in my area. The third person said, no, there's no outage in your area. It must be you. We have to schedule some sort of a repair. Well, there was nothing I could do about it before we went up to our beloved Corgi Haven Lane for the weekend. And this is when things get revealed to you in the blink of an eye, and you didn't even think about it at the time. About a month or so ago, we decided to invest in a Verizon 5G internet box for the cabin, just to see if it would work. They promised that we could return it if it didn't work up on the mountain. We're at 3,000 feet. I don't see any towers anywhere close by our cabin. Didn't think it would pick up 5G for sure. Could pick up a lower level of satellite. So we tried it. And to our great surprise, it worked. So instead of just a little MiFi pack that we could take up there for a few hours of internet, we can now have internet all day long. And it's, you know, one cost, and it's great. So we go up to the cabin, and I think, oh my gosh, here I am worrying about what to do. I had already canceled Matthew Roach from today because I didn't think I had Wi-Fi, and I didn't want to try to do it off of my phone with low wattage or whatever. And I didn't want any of that to affect Matthew's episode. I wanted him to have the sound quality and the battery life. I wanted him to have everything he needed to make his episode be the best it could be. I decided to bring home the MiFi box, but not sure if it would, you know, reconnect here again. And I just didn't want to put Matthew through any of that drama. So I apologized to him that we had to reschedule. He was quite gracious and was fine with that. And so you will be able to meet Matthew Roach next week. He will be returning on my birthday day, by the way. So next week is my birthday, tax day, for all of you who dread my birthday. I understand. My father did too. That's another whole story. But so Matthew will be with us next week on April 15th, and we'll get to honor his story. So yay for all of that and for Wi-Fi. This is the thing. We never know how God's going to work something out. And people claim thanks for God for a lot of things that maybe God does and maybe God doesn't. But for us to make a decision out of the blue to buy a 5G box for internet at the cabin was something that was really out of the ordinary for us. We don't really do a whole lot of extra stuff up there because it's a cabin and it's a sacred place for us. It's a place where we power down and we don't do the run-of-the-mill thing that we do at home all the time. We go hiking. We sit out on the deck for hours. We love nature. We love the birds. We love the deer, all of that. But we buy this 5G box to put it at the cabin so that we can have Wi-Fi, partly for my business when I'm doing things up there and I don't have to worry about how much Wi-Fi I'm using, but just to also give us a little extra, you know, stuff to watch on a TV, which was usually just movies or taped shows at this point, but for weather that's bad or whatever. So we do it as an impulse while Sue's getting a new phone, and we put that in on that. And now I'm using that Wi-Fi here at the house because mine's out and I'm still able to post this podcast for you today. I'm able to do some other things online that I need to do for the business from home today, where it's been rescheduled now until the 19th. So there you go. You never know. And what I'm trying to learn in my walk, twofold. One, of course, that God loves my enemies and I need to work on my heart, but also to just trust. I may not see what really is going to be happening down the road. I don't know. I will never know for sure what's going to happen. And yet, I want to line myself up with trusting God to work out what is supposed to work out and to stop worrying so much. Just what we were talking about earlier with the people on the reservation at Standing Rock, with us in this political battle, I can lean into trusting God to be there for us as a community, to be there for me, to be able to know that love will win. Love will always win in the end. So maybe you and I can both lean into trust. We can into walking in love and compassion. And when we have to be fierce, we can be fierce with compassion in our heart and always walk the walk of Jesus. Thank you, everybody, for being with me today. Thank you for listening. Please go to the website at empoweredmidge.podbean.com. Go all the way down through the list and you can find your discount code for the Wild Goose Festival. And if you go to my show page, you can also at empoweredmidge.podbean.com and just scroll all the way down through the episodes, at the very bottom, you'll be able to connect with me if you want coaching, if you want to email me, if you want to leave messages. You can do all of that from the show page, and just make sure that you connect with me in whatever way is meaningful for you. Check out my Facebook group, Gay with God, where we do a monthly group entitled My Faith Journey on Zoom. So no matter where you are in the world, you can join us. Even if you're across the pond, it might be really super late for you, as one of my members will tell you. But if it's worth it to you, you could always join, because it is on Zoom. Remember that you're important. Always remember that you're important to me, and you are important to God. So if you need extra support, please reach out and you will get the support that you need. If you are listening to this podcast and are questioning whether you can be gay and be in a relationship with the God of your understanding, if you identify as LGBTQIA+, or not even sure if you are gay, God has always been within you. Even when you didn't know it, you have always been gay with God. Thank you, everybody. Stay tuned to see how you can join the Gay with God community. And as always, you are loved.
I want to invite you to become a part of the Gay with God community. How can you do that? Stay connected by messaging me your thoughts and comments in the comment section under the downloads of the show on the Gay with God show page. Subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen, and share, so we can increase our community outreach and be a light to those who are struggling to claim their faith. Consider being a sponsor so I can highlight your service in our community. We are all worthy of respect and a relationship with the God of our understanding. I want to thank you in advance for supporting this podcast. Together, we as a community will keep this show visible and our community stronger.
Deep gratitude to my friend Tim McClendon of Tim McClendon Music for allowing me to use an excerpt from Interlude 4, a song found on his CD entitled Sundance.